Our God and Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the invitation which Thou hast extended to us all. Thou hast called us to come and offered us a free entrance into Thy presence, that we might share in the blessed benefits which Thou hast prepared for those who put their trust in Thee. And we are so needy. In ourselves we have so little. We are so often hungry for righteousness, and the best that we can do is as filthy rags in Thy sight. And we come unto Thee in our need, thanking Thee for Thy promises and praying that Thou wilt glorify Thyself in doing good to us. For Thy name's sake we ask it. Amen. We come now in our study of the Gospel of Matthew to chapter 22. And here we find some more of the parables with which the Lord Jesus is teaching the truth. Let us keep in mind that these events, including this teaching, took place as the Lord Jesus Christ was coming in to present himself as the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. In a certain sense, we are approaching the climax of his earthly ministry. He's going to be openly identified as the one whom God has sent to save sinners. Now, while we will be reading and studying this as it happened with him in the actual history of his affairs, we will have in mind that the principles that are being manifested here and revealed here are actually operative in us. And just as he came into the city of Jerusalem to take over the throne, so he comes into my heart to take over the leadership of my soul and become the Lord of my soul. And just as the city of Jerusalem treated him, my human heart is inclined to treat him now. You will find that there will be certain objection to him there in Jerusalem, and I will find that there is certain objection to him in my own consciousness. Some people did receive him then, and I can receive him now. But just now we're interested in seeing what he did, and in our study today we're going to see that he made it clear that those who will reject his invitation will be rejected of Almighty God. And we have before us a very well-known parable, the parable of the wedding feast. In chapter 22, beginning at the first verse, Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables, and said, The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king, which made a marriage for his son, and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again he sent forth other servants, saying, Tell them which are bidden, Behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. But they made light of it, and went their ways, one to his farm, and another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants, and entreated them spitefully, and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies, and destroyed those murderers, and burned up their city. Then saith he to his servants, The wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as you shall find, bid them to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways, and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. This is the story which the Lord Jesus told. Now here's the wonderful thing about a parable. If a story was told that happened, an event that happened, you might in your own mind feel, well, some parts of that event were natural and some parts were meaningful as for me. But when the parable is told, you can be satisfied that the parable has been constructed to point the message all the way through. Every part of the parable points to the significant idea that is being set forth. Now you will remember that the Lord Jesus, in coming into Jerusalem, found that in the city of Jerusalem there were people who were already what you would call religious folks, people that already had a way of doing that was supposed to be good enough in the matter of the worship of God. And the way that comes to us is that there are amongst us individuals and people who have belonged to the church. They belong to the church perhaps ever since they were children. It may be they're in the church today because their parents brought them up in the church. And that's perfectly all right. The church is a mighty fine place to be brought up in. But the point is that no matter where you're brought up, you must be born again. And it's conceivable that a person could have been brought up inside the church without having appreciated that the salvation is based upon the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is a big temptation on the part of human beings to think that salvation is dependent upon your own good works. But here in this parable, we have something that very clearly points to the fact that salvation is a gift, and it's provided for those who will come. Let me go over the parable with you slowly and comment on it while we see these things as they come. When you say that the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son, there's something very close to the truth of the gospel in that, because the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world to seek and to save the lost, and all those who believe in him are generally taken together in the word the church, and the church is considered the bride of Christ. So in a very real sense, Almighty God arranged that the Lord Jesus Christ should have a church. He should have a large company of people like himself with whom he would have fellowship. He sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding. Now, I think that if you look at those who were bidden and they were called to the wedding, it means those who already were included in a general invitation, and now the word went out, now is the time, come and get it. I'm inclined to think that this would include all those people who in Israel were by their parents brought into relationship with God. The men had been circumcised and identified as belonging to God. So they really might, in a very definite sense, be spoken of in the world as the Lord's people. Now God sends out a word and wants each one of those people to come to him. Which is something, reminds you something of the average church congregation. The average church congregation you know anything about is made up of people, the majority of whom are in there because their parents brought them there. Some of them are in there without ever having had any particular spiritual experience of their own, if that should be the case. This is not to criticize them, nor to condemn them, but simply to reveal, to point out, that what they need to do is to come to God themselves. Now, I would think they would be among those that were bidden. I would think the children of all Christian parents have been bidden to the wedding. I think people who live in the community where there's a Christian church, they've all been bidden to the wedding. If you live in a country that is commonly called a Christian country, no one would think of calling you a Mohammedan or calling you a Buddhist or calling you a Confucianist or a Shintoist or something of that nature. They wouldn't call you an out-and-out pagan if you've been brought up in a Christian community. Now, if you've been brought up in a Christian community, the offering of the gospel by the local church, hearing it sung by the hymns and set out before you in all the various ways with the different kinds of literature and pictures that have been set out, you're actually included among those people who already have an invitation to come and be with the Lord. Now he says, come, and he bids them to come. They would not come. That is, they would not make it a matter of personal relationship with God. So he sent forth other servants. Tell them which are bidden, the people who already have the invitation, I'm ready. Behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. You know, we preach the Lord Jesus has already died. We tell everybody, Christ Jesus died for your sins. He is the ox that has been killed. His sacrifice has already been offered. It's time now to come in and benefit by it. Everything's ready. The blood has been shed for your sins and the forgiveness prepared for your sins. Come unto the marriage. But they made light of it. They did not give this appeal to personal spiritual relationship with God first place. And I shudder when I think of the number of people who have the feeling that if you talk to them about trying to be holy or seeking the holiness of God, when they're inclined to think that, well, that's an elective. I can do it if I want to, but I don't have to do it. That's something extra and special. I'm already in. I'm saved. I don't have to do that. Always makes me very, very uneasy, because that's making light of the invitation of God. These people made light of it and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. Some other time when we're studying in the Gospel according to Luke, we'll have a much more full description of this, but for now this will be adequate. Namely, they had other things to do, and the remnant took his servants and treated them spitefully and slew them. There'd be some people actually oppose the preachers of the gospel and oppose the personal workers trying to bring them close to God. When the king heard thereof, he was wroth and sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. I'm inclined to think that people who turn down the invitation of God in the Lord Jesus Christ are not going to escape without something happening to them. I don't know whether it'll happen in this world, but that it will happen spiritually, I verily do believe. Then said he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. And here's a strange thing. People, brought up in a Christian home, do not go on into personal fellowship with him. And somebody else who hasn't been brought up in a Christian home at all becomes a real, close, warm-hearted Christian. This is it pictured right here. The servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. This is an astonishing thing. And in the history of the church, it's happened over and over again that God reaches out beyond the group who have been in the church before and brings in new people. Now, this had a special message in those days. The Jews were the people that had the gospel, and it was open to the Gentiles. But it has a meaning down to our day. The people in the church have had the gospel. The invitation goes out to everybody, both bad and good, to come. Our God and Heavenly Father, help us to see these things, and particularly help us to respond to the invitation when it comes to us. We thank thee that thou hast prepared all things for us, and we pray that by thy grace we may have the disposition to come unto thee and seek thy face whilst thou may be found. For thy name's sake we ask it. Amen.